His best was 2,590 in 1 week, Christmas week, after he had moved here to Doorn after Emmerungen, the other Dutch place. What would the Englishman, Gladstone, another elderly tree feller, have said to that? It might have silenced him, and his tribe. Tree feller, tree fella. It punned in English. He would entertain people with it. Bismarck would have had something to say to it, of course. He was a tree lover who used to try to plant a tree for every one that Gladstone felled, and then write to him about it to boast. Well, now he, Wilhelm II, had bested them both, because he had felled more and planted more than either. Bismarck had something to say to everything. That was his trouble. That was why it was right to get rid of him all those years ago, to drop the pilot, as someone put it. It was right then, anyway. Perhaps he might not have made the same decision now, but that was then, when everything was different. When you are young, you do not understand how different then and now are, because you have lived only in now, and it feels as if that is where you will always live. You do not realize that you are now, and you are becoming then. And when you realize how completely now has become then, how different it is like the fall of the axe. It splits you off from all these younger people who, however much they think they know or understand, cannot feel life as it was then. The pulse of it. That was the thing, always, with everything, and that is what cannot be conveyed. The Kaiser swung the axe again, but this time it bounced violently, jarring his arm as if the log, oak it looked like, were stone. It was a knotted old log, cross-grained, compacted, irreducible. He blamed Bismarck because he'd been thinking of rum. Even from his grave, that cross-grained old man with the soul of a Pomeranian tenant farmer still had the power to interpose himself wherever you looked, to make everything awkward, to turn things into problems which only he could solve. They were barely more than peasants, those Bismarcks, all of them. Their servants pulled wine corks with the bottles between their knees in front of you, and there were always dogs around the table. The old man fed the dogs from his dinner plate, holding it while they licked it. Perhaps it was the very plate that he himself, the Kaiser, might have eaten from next time. That was a metaphor. Bismarck really cared more for his dog than for his Kaiser. The Kaiser lowered his axe to the ground and, using the shaft as a prop, carefully lifted one foot. With the hard toe of his boot, he nudged the knotted log off the chopping block, a massive section of beech trunk. Then he let go of the axe and stooped to pick up another log. It was hard with one hand because the log was too wide to grip, and he had to roll it up the side of the beech trunk. When he was younger, he might have exercised his left arm by trying to ease the log into a central position on the block. But he didn't bother much with that arm now. A withered, blighted thing, from birth 3 inches shorter than its mate, he could hold with it but not lift or push much. God and he alone knew the youthful effort it cost him to learn to ride and to shoot, to learn above all not to be handicapped by this handicap. God had given it to him to make him tough, he had long ago decided. Years of solitary practice, holding oars out straight, had made his good right arm stronger than most men's two arms, with a grip that had been compared to that of John Sullivan, the boxing champion. But even John Sullivan was then. Who spoke of him now? The axe split the new log clean, with a crack that echoed through the trees around the woodshed. Most men could not swing an axe with two arms, as he still swung with one. There were plenty of trees ready for felling, more than he had days.
"Your Highness! Your Royal Highness!"
The Kaiser leant on his axe, turning slowly. The new Dutch maid was running through the rough grass bordering the park and the trees, clutching her white apron in one hand and waving with the other. When she called again, he realized he had heard her before swinging at that last log, but had not registered it. That happened nowadays. He waited. He had heard and uttered many urgent summonses in life, but now, robbed of their temporary urgency, it was clear.